What's up, you guys? Happy Friday. I just wanted to jump on the beginning of this episode because this is part two of our Black History Month episode. We originally recorded it as a single episode, but it went kind of long, so we split it up into two. So I didn't want it to sound awkward starting off mid-conversation without an intro or anything and sound goofy, so I thought I'd just drop this on here at the beginning. So I hope you guys enjoy it. And I hope you keep listening and hit us up on Twitter. Let us know who you think should have been on the list that we forgot. And since I'm on here, I wasn't planning on doing this, but our first t-shirt just dropped on What a Maneuver. So if you're not worried about looking like a drunk, go ahead and check it out. Enjoy.
Next one you have on here, WWE Hall of Famer, star of Rocky and the A-Team, it's Mr. T.
God damn it, Mr. T.
So, Mr. T, we've talked about him before.
On a celebrity episode.
Yeah, we talked about how great he was with being in the first two WrestleManias, and he was kind of the one celebrity to stick around for a minute.
Not only on the WrestleManias, he did Saturday Night's Main Event, too, so he was filling gaps in between the WrestleManias. He was still making appearances. A-Team, Saturday Night's Main Event, they'd still mention him on Saturdays. Like, he was a fully functioning part of the WWF universe in the mid-80s.
Right, he wasn't exactly a full-timer, but he was like he was like Brock Lesnar with a work ethic.
Thank you. Yes.
But, so we covered a lot of his stuff before, so like there's no reason for us to repeat ourselves from, you know, a few episodes ago if you haven't heard it.
But we can, because he was fantastic.
Right,
dude.
But you can go back and listen to the celebrities episode. But one thing I could not believe that we left out was Mr. T has the distinction of being the first person to ever say the word urinary tract in a Hall of Fame speech the night he inducted his mother into the Hall of Fame.
Also rape.
And he also said, we didn't rape no one.
And he went for 20 minutes, was the first guy that the WWE actually sent out Kane as like a contract, like, hey, go collect this guy. Get him off the damn stage. Poor Mr. T's like, oh, is it my time to go? Let me give you an awkward handshake and say I'm sorry for five times before I get off the stage. I felt so bad for the guy. But look, mid-80s, there was no bigger star in all of the world than Mr. T. A-Team was a huge success on TV. To team him up with Hulkamania was a fucking genius move by the WWF machine. It sold WrestleMania 1. It sold WrestleMania 2. And not only was he collecting paychecks for the WrestleManias, he was doing, as I mentioned, the Saturday Night's Main Event. They were mentioning him on Saturday morning programming. If you were a kid, you not only wanted to watch WWF for Hulkamania, you wanted to watch it for Mr. T as well. It was the perfect pairing. It was like peanut butter and jelly in the 80s. Sold the shit out of WrestleMania 1 and 2. And he was a huge part of it, barring his Hall of Fame speech, where he basically inducted his mom into the Hall of Fame.
Well, that was the highlight of his career for me.
Oh, man, let me tell you, the highlight of that speech for me was when he's going off about his mama and the crowd jumps in with what chants?
Mm-hmm.
And Stone Cold and Hogan are losing their shit in the front row, laughing at what Mr. T is saying and what the crowd's giving back to him. It was incredible. If you ever have a chance, if you have 20 minutes of your life to burn, go watch that Hall of Fame speech. It was incredible. But in the 80s, there was no bigger star than Mr. T. And teaming up with Hulkamania was like lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got Bad News Brown.
Bad News Brown was, so for the first few episodes, it's Ghetto Blaster Time Fool was my catchphrase, then you took it over, now like it's, we should bring it back. Bad News Brown was a bad motherfucker. Even when you were a kid, like you kind of don't know, you don't know what's going on, right? But you knew Bad News Brown could whip a man's ass.
Yes.
Bad News Brown was incredible. He had the sewer rat match with Boss Man? Was it Boss Man?
I believe it was Boss Man.
And he's holding those damn, those were possums. Those weren't sewer rats, but still, he's holding possums by their tail.
Yeah.
You go touch a possum.
Yeah.
Right?
No fear on his part. None.
No.
He would bite a motherfucker back.
Right. And from what I've heard that he was the only guy besides Haku that Andre was actually a little afraid of.
Well, Andre shit on him.
Right. Well,
literally.
We'll get to that later.
We will.
Bad News Brown he was a legit tough guy too, right? He was a judo master.
He was.
Right, he was in the Olympics.
Well, he wrestled in Stu Hart's territory.
Right, yeah.
So he went to the dungeon. When you come from there, you are a legit badass.
Right.
out of the gate.
Yeah, yeah. And he was, as a character, he was great. He was great.
Believable. You could look at him, and you honestly thought at WrestleMania 6, when Piper went half blackface, and he was facing Bad News Brown, you're like, I'm pretty sure Bad News Brown is going to rip out his trachea.
And from what I've heard, Bad News Brown was legit pissed.
Like, didn't see it coming.
Right. He's a professional, so he didn't... Right, exactly. He didn't... Piper didn't tell him that.
Right.
He didn't like, go into business for himself during the match, but I heard he, like, if he had seen Piper after, he would have fucked him up. And, like, you know right. He could fuck Piper up.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
You know what was the greatest thing about Piper? I feel like we shouldn't go into a story about Piper painting himself in half blackface on the Black History Month episode.
Well, you know there was an action figure made of that.
No.
Yeah, I swear to God, Jax did a deluxe classic of Rowdy Piper.
Do you have it?
In half blackface. My brother does.
Does Zack Ryder have it?
Who fucking cares what he has?
I heard
half the collection we have.
So I heard Piper tell a story that he painted himself like that, and it was like some kind of paint that would not wear off, right? Like, like Warrior's face paint would wear off.
Yes.
Like you had to have some kind of special solution to take it off, right? Right. So he had a jar of that.
Right, like while, Colt 45 or something would take it off.
Right. And while he was in the ring, Arnie Scullin like dumped it out. So he couldn't get it off.
He was stuck in Canada with that shit on himself.
Right. And you know, like wrestlers fib. So I don't know what's true and what's not. But the story Piper told was while he was there, he had bought a gigantic like teddy bear for his kid. And it was like a big, like 5-foot teddy bear. And he booked himself 2 seats on the flight back to Portland.
Right.
One was for the teddy bear and the other one was obviously him, but he still had the fucking face paint, body paint. So it was like, I mean, he would have had clothes on, but like his arm would have been, one arm was black. His one
half side of his black. Face.
Yeah. And he said he flew home like that because Arnie Scullin dumped out the shit. He said it was that strong of a paint that it wouldn't come off.
Oh, dude. Arnie Scullin.
Yep.
Those guys, the ribs they would play on each other back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, fucking severe.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Bad News Brown was a legit badass. You're right. And when he won that WrestleMania 4 Battle Royal.
Yeah.
Totally believed it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, he's going to kick the shit out of everybody in that ring. And there's no denying it.
Right. He's also the only guy to ever put a match on pause through a commercial break to go to the back and get a snow shovel.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Hogan should have saw it coming.
Yeah.
You already touched up on him, but bring him back. Farouk, a.k.a. Ron Simmons.
Damn!
First black WCW heavyweight champion, and so well-deserved. Mm-hmm. Should have happened, actually, years earlier. He should have beaten Luger for the title. He beat Vader for it. That was all Dusty Rhodes doing. I actually watched Ron Simmons from late 80s NWA up until, until the Hall of Fame. And what a career for that guy.
Yeah.
Just continually reinvented himself from babyface Ron Simmons to Doom Ron Simmons to babyface again Ron Simmons as heavyweight champion, onto WWE as Farouk, onto APA Ron Simmons, onto Ron Simmons not APA, onto Hall of Fame Ron Simmons. What a career. And to have one line be a catchphrase all these years later.
One word.
Everybody knows. One word. Everybody knows it. Talk about establishing yourself as a legend.
Mm-hmm.
That guy epitomizes it.
That's such a great catchphrase. I say that probably 3 or 4 times a week at work. People who have no idea what that is also say it. Like, that's become a thing in my entire, like, sphere of influence.
And you and I use it as a gif or a phrase when text messaging each other all the time.
All the time. Probably, 4 or 5 times a week.
Easily.
Yeah. Yeah, I missed his WCW stuff. Like, it was kind of like everyone else. I was sort of aware of it. I knew who he was. When he came to WWE, I knew who he was.
Yeah.
But I missed a lot of that stuff. They brought him in as the a modern-day gladiator. Is that what it was called? With the stupid blue hat, the helmet?
Yeah, it was questionable.
And, like,
best.
Looking back on it, it was very Dusty Rhodes, right?
Yes.
Like, Vince, like, oh, I'm going to make him look like a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And see if he can get himself over. And he did.
Totally did. Overcame it.
Yeah. And then the Nation of Domination, and then, like, obviously his greatest success in WWE was with the APA.
Yeah.
The APA were such a huge part of the Attitude Era with the stupid door. Remember, you had to knock on the door.
You had to knock on it. Yeah, right? But it was a standalone door.
And they're back there drinking beer. They're playing cards. They're smoking cigars.
Much like us doing this podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. They might have been the first guys to do, like, on-location shoots, right?
Right.
Where you'd see a segment that was taking
consistently. They never had their own home base. That was just... They always had to establish that.
Right, yes. Right. Yeah, it was awesome.
It was it was just so much fun to see how innovative they could get.
Yeah.
Like, even a closet could be their full-on office.
Yeah.
And they handled business thoroughly.
Yep.
Ron Simmons was so good that Action Bronson wrote a song about him.
Right. Let's not overlook the role that Farouk had in The Rock's career, because without Farouk, maybe Rock doesn't ascend to the heights that he does. Who knows?
Or not when he did, anyway.
Right, but Farouk had a huge role in that. That was all Ron Simmons doing.
Right.
And maybe The Rock doesn't happen without Farouk. I don't know for sure, but it's good speculation. But what a career that guy had. To this day, people have one word identify you and be a Hall of Famer. You can put that word on a shirt, make money with it. Legend.
It should be on his tombstone.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Ooh, here we go. To the current stuff, one of the most dominant, long-lasting tag teams are out there, or factions, as you would call it. Producers of many carbohydrates in the form of pancakes, as well as in local cereal aisles, serving up some bootios. It's the New Day!
So New Day have got to be like the greatest overachievers of all time, right?
No doubt.
Because when they first started showing those vignettes where they were like, you thought they were like
a gospel.
Group. Yeah, right? Like they were like in churches and shit. And you're like, what is this shit?
Well, because Xavier
dictating what positivity is. I mean, that's how it could be aggressive, or that's what the gimmick was like.
Yeah, but it's 100%. Just like, it didn't really make sense. And I couldn't quite figure out what was happening. And it was like weird. And then they showed up and they're in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, they were kind of the same as those videos, and it was stupid, and it didn't make any sense, but within a year...
Well, they tried to push him as faces.
Right, they tried to push him as faces, and it was, like, just kind of obnoxious.
Yes.
And then, okay, so I think we were at the Raw. I think the Raw, where they really became a thing, would have been the night after 31 in Santa Clara, right?
In Santa Clara,
so yes. San Jose, I don't remember, they had a tag match with somebody, and that was when they were doing that new... They were doing the...
Yes.
And I forget what it was. It was just, I think it was just
New
a
Day Rocks.
But then, hang on. My boo is here to say something.
Oh, yeah, about New Day. I thought that it was going to be so cool. I thought their gimmick was going to be awesome because it was like a shitty televangelist. But then, so it would be great if there were heels. Then they came out as faces and it was like,
it didn't
what
make
the
sense.
Fuck is this? No, it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, exactly.
It seemed like it was going to as heels.
Right.
It was actually a great gimmick as heels, but then, it made no sense at all.
Yeah.
Is Shannon okay?
She's sleeping.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, that was the first night they chanted New Day Suck, right? And
it
was because we had the hardcore WrestleMania crowd.
Yes.
We had the British crowd.
That was a huge component.
And that was like, boom, you know, light switch. Like, suddenly they start...
Now they're heels.
Right, and now other... cities had heard that chant, and now it starts happening every week on Raw.
Yep.
And they New Day, to their credit, were like playing along with it. They started doing the clapping thing more often.
Yep.
And then it's just inevitable. You become baby faces. It took a while, and that's when it turned into New Day Rocks.
Yeah.
I would have never ever thought that their run would have lasted this long. So it's been 5 years. It's probably about 5.5 years because they got together. Roughly, like a little after 30.
Late 2014.
Right, like not long after 40. So you're coming up on 6 years in the next couple months.
Right.
Not a lot of factions. DX didn't have a six-year run.
The longevity is incredible.
It's incredible, and it never gets old, and it's because they keep reinventing themselves, and it's like stupid reinventing themselves. Like they used to have cereal, now they have pancakes. And it doesn't even make any sense. There's no reason grown-ass men should like it. But go to WrestleMania, look at the grown-ass man in New Day shirts.
Right.
They're entertaining as hell.
Yes. And having Kofi... as the heavyweight champion,
yes,
added further credibility to that group that these guys belong at the top of the card. And guess what? They're going to be there for years to come. The longevity is to me is what's the most incredible thing about New Day.
Right. There's that thing that Vince does where when someone gets over, he splits them up.
Yep.
And he's notorious for that. Like there's like, I don't know, three tag teams ever that he left together for a long, long period of time.
Yeah.
He seems to be doing well with New Day, and I hope he stays that way, because I'm like, just like, at some point, I'm like, they're going to break up for no fucking reason, but
I think they see that there's no reason for that.
Yeah.
Because now you
could realize it right now.
Yeah. You could push Big E to be a heavyweight title contender.
He's going to take them.
Everybody's going to believe
him.
Yeah. Everybody's going to believe that that's actually possible.
Right.
It happened with Kofi. Next up, you could have Xavier run for the IC belt. I mean, you never know. There's so many different directions they can take New Day in, but it just adds on to that longevity with that group.
Right.
That I want to see it continue for years to come. To break up New Day, to me, would be a huge mistake. It's a moneymaker, And to Adam's point, the message of positivity is incredible.
They're great.
Yeah, they are great.
Yep. Very much. You had someone that you wanted to add to this list.
Go ahead.
It'd be one Mr. Michael Hayes.
Michael Hayes!
And if you get that joke, you get that joke. And let's move on.
Bobby Lashley, did you get that one?
That was it?
All right. That's it. That's all I had to say about that.
All right. Next one you have on here.
Scott's dying. It worked.
I'm not touching that one. We'll leave that one to Bobby Lashley to pick up on.
Your next one on here is Slick.
Oh, man. Slick. Dude. One of the greatest managers of all time. I don't care. You could talk about his lack of titles in his group. The guy was just fucking entertaining. As a kid, he had Boss Man. He had Akeem. That's all I needed. And yep. When he turned face, he had Kamala. Just what an incredible character. He entertained me as a kid. And really, at the end of the day, it's World Wrestling Entertainment. He entertained me. I love Slick to this day. Ed, you actually met him back in 2007 at the Cow Palace at a wrestling convention.
I did.
And he went to sign your picture. He said, "What's your name?" You said, "Eddie." He said, "Perfect." Signs your picture. He hands it to you. It says, "To Teddy."
Yep.
And it made me love him even more.
For like,
I'm half, like this fucking guy.
Yeah, for like half a second, I thought like, oh, I should have him fix it. Like sign another one.
He Hell had
a
big no.
stack of them. And I was like, nope, this is way funnier.
It's perfect.
This
it's
is great.
Perfect.
This is hilarious. Yeah, it's hanging up in my garage. Yeah, it was fantastic. And remember, the one thing I remember thinking when we met him is he's fucking tall.
Yes.
He's a tall dude. He's got to be he like 6'4", and yep. He was also big. He was always with big guys. He was Boss Man, like you said.
Yeah.
He looked like skinny. I always thought he was like a skinny little, I could tell he was tall, but I thought he was like, had like a Jimmy Hart build.
And you know, because he was next guy. To Boss Man and Akeem.
Right. But compared to them, he looks small, but like realistically, exactly. Like he's a big dude.
He is. He really is.
But he was fantastic. My favorite thing I think that he ever did was on a Saturday Night's Main Event when he kept teasing Hogan was going to wrestle Boss Man in the cage. And he kept teasing that he had a surprise, right? Like he did a interview backstage with Mean Gene. He's like, "I got a surprise for the Hulkster." And then he comes down to the ring and he gets the microphone and he says, I think I still remember this. And this is like 1989. "My surprise is 6 feet, 11 inches tall. My surprise is 355 pounds. My surprise is Zeus." And this is right around the time that No Holds Barred was coming out.
It would have been 89.
Zeus shows up. Nobody knew he was an actor. You'd never seen this guy before. Zeus whipped Hogan's ass.
Yep.
Hogan got in the ring. That's when they did the suplex off the top of the cage. But that's one of my favorite Slick memories. And Slick to me, and we've talked about this for years, Slick to me might be like the biggest glaring omission from the Hall of Fame.
Agree, 100%.
Even more than like Owens on his own thing, right? But like more than anyone, and the reason is because there were like four guys in the 80s. It was Heenan, it was Fuji,
Jimmy Hart,
and it was Slick. And the rest of them had been in there for years. I think Fuji might have been the last one to go in.
Yeah.
And that had to be, 2007 or something? 2006? Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Oh, was that 2005? Was that when we were there? That was L.A.?
Yeah, they've got to get him in.
And I think Jimmy Hart was before that. So, like, I mean, it's been 15 fucking years we've been waiting for Slick, and I don't understand it. To me, he's like a no-brain Hall of Famer.
In terms of wrestling theme songs, Jive Soul Bro stands second to none.
Yes.
For that reason alone, you can argue his championships won, what have you. His contribution in WWF music, recognizable entrance themes, he needs to go in just for that.
And I think he actually sang it.
Yes, he did.
Yep.
He was Josh Soul Bro.
Yep.
Next you have on here, former NXT Women's Champion and Raw Women's Champion, The Boss, Sasha Banks.
See, you did not have her on your list. You sent me your list first, and then I added who I had to it, kind of combined it, and you left her out.
Well, we're trying to combine Right, like we want to not get everybody out on this show and build up to a second show at some point.
Right, right.
Like, there's only so many names. I had Ernie Ladd on mine, Robo Brazil. There's names that we left off.
Right.
You did have Sasha Banks.
I did have Sasha Banks.
Which, to your credit, you have been a Sasha Banks fan from day one.
Yes.
And I would never argue Sasha Banks on anybody's list for anything, really. And very well deserving of being included on yours.
I am very sure the very first wrestling conversation I had with you had to do with Sasha Banks.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all.
Yeah, because it was like not that long after her match with Bayley.
Okay.
The legendary one.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Sasha Banks. She's my first. She's my first female favorite. My first female favorite wrestler. Right. She is so good, that boss character, and she's just now in the last few months been able to kind of make it happen on the main roster. You know, for so long I was waiting for her to like kind of capture that magic she had in NXT, and she's kind of just doing it now. But she is just fantastic. We've talked about it before. Her match with Bayley at TakeOver is my favorite match of all time, which like your favorite match of all time when you've been watching wrestling as long as mine probably shouldn't be just a few years ago, right?
Yeah.
That's how good she is. She is just incredible.
And
incredible.
The day that WWE decides to stop with the stop start on her career would be great.
And she's like, we were saying the other day, we were texting, she's like the workhorse of the company, right? She was the one,
really
I don't remember if it was last year or the first Rumble. She was in there for like 50 minutes or something crazy like that.
She also made Ronda Rousey look like $1 million.
She had
solidified her.
Ronda Rousey's best match was with Sasha.
Yeah.
Sasha was in that Elimination Chamber for a long time. She was in the first Women's Hell in a Cell.
She made Becky Lynch in NXT, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And made Bayley at the same time in NXT in that Brooklyn match.
Right, right. She made, two more stars came out of that,
that
division because of her. She was in that Last Woman Standing match.
Yep.
She was in the first Women's Iron Man match. She is like, I know we've talked about Becky and we will later on. But overall, if you look at like not title reigns or how big of a star she is, but if you look at like kind of what she's done in the ring, Sasha might be the best overall of all time is in the women's division.
I can't even argue with you. She's absolutely incredible at what she does. Deserves all the recognition. And the day that WWE realizes they needed to stop with the stop start on her career with the title reigns, which is embarrassing at this point, just give her a run with the title, see what she can do.
She would be the top woman of all time if Charlotte's last name was different.
Right. If it wasn't Flair, yep.
Right. If her last name was Schwartz.
Right.
Like Sasha would be the top star.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for allowing this one to be in the cumulative list. One of my favorites, the Boogeyman. So.
You love the Boogeyman.
I love him so much.
This will actually imitate be kind him of... well. Your segment of the show, like Ed and I have riffed on every name on the list. Like Boogeyman is definitely your stuff. So if you want to give like career highlights, kudos, spotlight's on you, Adam.
I met him at WrestleCon. He was just like as scary as he is in any presence that he has in the ring. Just in his persona, he is one of the most humble and hardworking wrestlers that are out there. Maybe performance-wise, the only thing that I don't like about him is that his finisher was called the Pump Handle Slam. That's literally that is the only thing wrong with anything and everything that I have been exposed to with the Boogeyman. If he just renaming that like worm cramming slam or something like that, like and we're talking about like a very minimal footnote. Otherwise, like his backstage presence and just the legendary match that he had with Booker T. Legendary to my sense because I'm 2000s onward.
No, Ed told him the same thing. That match with Booker
fantastic.
T at 22. Ed loved it, and he told, actually, Booker T.
I did.
That was his favorite Booker T match. Booker T thought he was messing with him.
No, it wasn't my favorite Booker T. Yeah, it's my favorite Booker T match.
It is your favorite Booker T match.
Yeah.
And obviously, just a gimmick that is so imitatable and so much fun. I'm happy to entertain all these guys with doing it all the time. Or maybe you're sick of it, but you know what? I also really don't care.
But you don't eat real worms. We're just saying
that. That's true. We'll see if we could get to that one day. I do it with gummy worms. I mean, we got to do this. Got to do this safely. But yeah, Boogeyman just entertaining as hell. One of those key entertaining figures in that 2000s era. Figured might as well just round out the Nation of Domination, Kama, a.k.a. the Godfather.
Godfather was great because Godfather started off as Papa Shango, which is by far one of the best, like when you want to get into those weird, crazy gimmicks.
Yeah, the early 90s. That's like, right up there. Throw stuff against the wall, see what sticks. Papa Shango was absolutely that gimmick.
Right, you bring a guy in and have him do a voodoo.
Yeah, you can almost hear Vince like, let's try voodoo, damn it. Yeah, get out there and shake your stick and like, yeah.
Put some fog on him.
Yeah, make black shit move from the warrior's head. Like, just, what the hell? But that was like early 80s and Papa Shango made it work. Like, he was a believable big man. Almost, and to the point where he was in the main event of WrestleMania 8 to an extent. Right, like not involved in the match, but he came out and made himself involved in the match.
And that was the part where he like totally missed his cue, or like I don't think he did. I think whoever was in gorilla position missed their cue.
Yeah. Yeah. Point the blame where you will, but he was involved in it.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was good. I mean, it was great.
And it was.
And then he became then he was Kama, the Supreme Fighting Machine.
Kama. Yep. He melted the Undertaker's urn into a chain for himself.
Right. Which was it was like, I don't know who would want a brass chain in the first place. Also, like, there was not that much brass in that urn. That chain was, like, 9 feet long, right? Yeah. And about a foot thick.
Yeah, it was also a spotlight at WrestleMania 11, let's be honest.
To melt down the coating for that chain. That's how we got the stretch out of it.
Yeah, exactly. And then he became the Godfather later on.
Yep.
Which was obviously, like, that's why he's in the Hall of Fame, is because of the Godfather.
Yes, it was the Godfather. And like, not the
party atmosphere.
Yeah.
Not the right to censor. It was the Godfather gimmick, 100%.
Right. But the good father was good, too.
It was good,
but it was no Godfather.
He made it work. You know, that was really a pile of shit they dumped on
and
him.
And then he lived the gimmick. Then he lived the gimmick, brother, because then remember he was running cheetahs in Vegas?
Oh, yeah. For a while? That's right.
Yeah.
If he's not still.
Also, you know what was kind of goofy about him? I always thought... Do you remember where he was from? Where he was billed from?
I thought he was billed from Las Vegas.
He was billed from Palo Alto, California.
Really?
Early on, right? I think even when he was a pimp, he was from Palo Alto. And I was like, Palo Alto?
Interesting.
I don't know about that. I don't know if he's even from Palo Alto.
I think he's in your backyard.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, I think he might be from like Tupelo or something. I don't know where he's actually from. Or maybe he is from Palo Alto, but I always thought that was kind of odd.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he was golfed. He was great. Remember he came out at I think the first wrestling show we ever went to would have been, no, it wasn't our first one. Our first WrestleMania together was 2000 in Anaheim, and he kicked off the show with Ice-T.
With D'Lo Brown.
And with D'Lo Brown, and Ice-T wrapped into the ring.
That's right.
Pimpin' ain't easy, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
We're going to round this out with the former 5-time WCW champion.
Oh, you didn't say it the right way.
Good, very good point.
Start over.
We're going to round this out with the 5-time WCW champion, WWE Hall of Famer, Booker T.
He still didn't say it right. I meant you were supposed to say it 5 times.
5 times.
Not
five
put on a black affect.
Times. Oh, Jesus Christ.
But anyway, I love Booker T. We've been over this before. Booker T is one of my favorites of all time. I loved him. He's one of the few guys who I was a fan of when he was in WCW. Because I'd put it on once in a while, and I loved Harlem Heat. Booker T is so good.
Continuing to give back to the business, too, with his wrestling school, his promotion. Brought so Ember much Moon insight. To us.
Yeah, he's trained Ember Moon.
Yeah,
he's trained the Ember Usos. Moon.
Yep.
And they're, I can't think of who else now, but they're a handful.
Still continues to provide commentary to the WWE, whether it be Raw, SmackDown, pre-show. What have you.
Any platform, he could do it.
He could totally do it. Absolutely. And he could come back and wrestle today and be one of the top guys.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah,
like, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, but he could still go.
Built and an aerial performer.
Yeah. Right. He was... I don't think there's anyone... There might not be anyone who could go between being like a serious performer and a comedic performer better than him. you know? Like, even, like, Stone Cold, Kurt Angle's right there.
Yeah.
But Booker T, man, like, he would be... Well, okay, so when he was King Booker, he was the greatest king of all time. I got shit earlier for comparing Baron Corbin to Harley Race.
How dare we, by the way?
Right.
If we did that, how dare we?
And I don't think that was... Not that I'm apologizing or retracting that, but I wasn't saying that Corbin was as good as Harley.
Nowhere near.
I was comparing it. I was putting it in layman's terms that...
King to king.
Right. But Booker T is the best king of all time. For having Sharmell with him added a huge amount to it. Booker T, or William Regal standing there yelling "All hail King Booker!" Everything about it was fucking fantastic. He was so great, and he did that shitty fake ass English accent, which wasn't even English. I don't even know what that was.
it was King Booker,
right? Yeah, it was a Booker accent, and it was just like nonsense, but it was so funny. But then he would get in the ring and fuck someone up. You know what I mean? Like, he was legit. Like, he wasn't Santino. You know,
right?
Like, he kind of walked that fine line where you're like, okay, he's funny, but I know he can fuck someone up. Like, he was always credible to win a match. He was, Booker T was fantastic. I love Booker T.
And everything that he's still entertaining today. Mm-hmm. Just glad that he's still part of the business.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. That'll take care of this particular list. Again, as stated at the beginning, this is by no means a shoot on any other performers that didn't make this particular episodes, because there are just so many. We definitely want to make sure that we could get to all of them in future ones. So another recording of this particular theme, there'll be so many other wrestlers that we will just absolutely praise or crap on, but
you mean like Ahmed Johnson?
SD Jones. Jesus Christ.
But yeah, I mean, this... Already a very decorated list for Black History Month is definitely in WWF and WWE. A lot have made an impact, and very, very thankful for all the entertainment that they do. That takes care of this episode. Just want to remind all of you that need you to follow us on Twitter. Again, the handle is going to be @wrestling_drunk. That underscore is very important to it. @wrestling_drunk. And then just wherever you're listening to this podcast or whatever platform you're obtaining it from, we want to see those ratings and also review it. We definitely want to hear your input, whether you like the lists that we have going, whether you agree or not, what kind of or how your opinion shapes with the episodes as well. We definitely want to hear from you. So all the input that you can give us, it really does help. And then also just any retweets that you can do very much helps out with the cause. And so...
Also, let me just butt in. Yeah. We want to read your reviews on the air too.
We do. Right?
So like, I think that's fun to do. Like, I've heard that other places do that. And we've gotten a couple, and like, we're like dickheads. We haven't read any of them yet. So maybe next week.
We're so embarrassed.
Right? You're so embarrassed. But we want to read your reviews too. You know, we want to hear what you have to say, and we want to put it out there for everyone else to hear.
Yep. Put on an iTunes review. We'll read it.
Thank you.
Very much so. Otherwise, with Eddie, with Scott, I'm Adam. I hope all of you enjoy your buzz. Please watch wrestling responsibly. Drink like nobody is watching. Happy Black History Month, everybody. 1, 2, 3. This episode's out.
Cheers. Hi.
Well, I met this lady and I told her quite a story. Said I love her forevermore. But the trouble is, I tell the same old story. Talking to you.
nothing in the end.